Masechet Baba Mesiyah Daf Samecheh. We're talking about returning interest. If a borrower pays the lender interest, which he's not allowed to do, and the lender can't take it either, but if he does pay, then the Bet Din gets involved and they require the lender to give it back. All right, that would be a simple case if you just gave him $10 of interest, he has to return the $10. But now we're going to see three somewhat complicated cases. Amar Abaye, Haiman de Masik Zuza de Rebita Bechabre, Vekaz Lichite Arba'a Gerive Bezuza Beshuka, Vyahib Le'ihu Chamisha. You have a person who is owed one dinar of ribit, right? The lender is owed from the borrower one dinar of ribit. And again, he's not allowed to pay and the lender is not allowed to collect. But let's say he does collect. Now, at the time, four se'ah of wheat, gerive is the same as a se'ah, four se'ah of wheat are going for one zuz in the market. That's the market price. So since he owes one dinar, he can give him four se'ah. But the borrower, he's in a generous mood, and he decides to give five se'ah instead. Right? He's giving five, he's giving a discount, he's giving a good price, some extra wheat for the same zuz that he owes. But now the Beit Din comes and has to remove that payment and give it back to the borrower. How much do they extract? So we will take away only four se'ah from the lender, because the fifth one was an extra gift. He just gave it to him at a special discount price, but that was not the market price. And so therefore, since the payment of the ribit was only one zuz, and one zuz equals four se'ah, so there was a 25% added payment, but that part was not ribit. So we let him keep one se'ah and we take away four se'ah according to Abaye. Makes sense. Rava amar hamisha mepikinan mineh mikara betorat ribita atai lideh. Rava, however, is more stringent, and he says the Beit Din takes away all five se'ah from the lender and gives it back to the borrower. Why? Because when he gave it, he gave all five se'ah as a payment of ribit. Right? And he said, listen, I know I owe you one zuz. I'm giving you a discounted price. I know the market price. I'm giving you a better price and throwing in an extra se'ah. But that's all part of the payment. And so even though it's extra, since it was given and received as ribit payment, he has to return the entire amount. Similar case. Someone is owed, and this time it's four dinar of interest from another, and the borrower, instead of giving him cash, he gives him a cloak that might be worth more than the four dinar. Kimapikinan mine. Now we is going to come to the Beit Din is going to come and collect it back. Albaamapikinan mine. Gilima lamapikinan mine. According to Abaye, the lender has to give back four dinar. He can give back cash, and the cloak he can keep for himself, because we look at the amount of ribit that he had to pay, and so he only has to return that. The cloak itself, whether it's worth four dinar or more, he can keep. Rava amar gilima mepikinan mineh. Maita ama ki echi de la lemru gilima de mechase vekae gilima de ribita hu. Rava, however, is once again stringent and says the Beit Din removes the cloak from the lender. What's the reason? So that people will not look at him wearing the cloak and say, oh, look at this cloak that he is going around and wearing. That is a cloak of interest. People will know that this was given from the borrower to the lender, and they won't necessarily know that the Beit Din already extracted an amount of four zuzim. So this will publicize this sinful act that they did, and therefore give back the entire thing. And so Abaye Rava is stringent here as well, although for an additional reason. Amar Rava, third case. Hayman demasik teresar zuzeh derbita bechabre. This time, the borrower owes the lender 12 dinar of interest. Vagad le hasad mitgare demitagera be'asara ve'ogre nihale bitresar. And the borrower had a courtyard, and he rents out the courtyard to the lender. Now, normally, the market price for that courtyard was 10 dinar, But they agreed on a price of 12. He overpaid. And the lender, he didn't mind overpaying because, after all, he wasn't paying out of pocket. He was just using the interest that he was owed. So he didn't mind. It's kind of like when you overpay when you're using Amex points. You don't mind so much. It's not like real money. It's there, you know, it's just points. So he says, okay, listen, you owe me 12. Even though this courtyard is really only worth 10, I'll take the courtyard for 12, and that'll be the interest payment. Now, of course, again, it's not allowed to be paid. He's not allowed to collect. And the Beit Din is going to come and collect. How much do they collect? Here we only have Rava's opinion. We make the lender pay 12, which is really interesting because he only got a value of 10. That's the market value of the rent that he got. And so now we're going to ask about that. Ravacha from Difti es Ravina about Rava's ruling. Can't the lender say, ki agra hachi dehava ka mishtar shili, hashta de la mishtar shili ke de agari kule amahu de agarna? The lender can make a claim and say, when I rented it originally at the higher price of 12, I did that because I was just profiting. It was all profit for me. I had nothing before, but you owed me 12. And so I wasn't paying out of pocket. I was saying, okay, fine. I'll count even though it's valued 10, I'll agree to pay 12. However, now that you're coming and collecting the money back from me, and so now it's not just profit to me, I have to pay this out of pocket, I don't agree to 12. I want the market value of 10. And I only received 10 of value, and therefore I should only have to pay 10. How could you take 12 from me? And that was their question. Why did Rava rule that way? And the answer is, Mishum damar le, sabrat vekabalt. No, it's because we can tell the lender, you considered it and you accepted it. You accepted to pay a higher price of 12. It doesn't matter what the reason was. Now, since you accepted this as 12 and you use the courtyard, so you got that benefit that is worth 12, you decided it was worth 12 to you. So now that we are removing this interest because you weren't allowed to receive it, you have to actually pay 12. And so that is the law. Next Mishnah. Marbin al ha-sachar and marbin al ha-mecher. One can increase the price of rent and for the benefit of paying later, but one may not increase the sale price for the benefit of the buyer paying later. First, we're going to see some examples, and then we're going to see the reasons for this in the Gemara, why there's a difference. Kesad, hiskir lo et haserov, amar lo, im achshav ata noten li harehu lecha ba'aseh selaim l'shana. So someone is renting out his courtyard, and he says, listen, I'm going to rent it to you. If you pay everything up front, then the price is 10 selah for the entire year. Vim shel chodesh bechodesh, selah lachodesh mutar. But the renter says, if you want to pay month by month, you don't want to pay all up front, then the price is 1 selah every month, which after a year is going to be 12 selah. That is permitted. This is similar to a lot of times when you have a subscription to an app or a website, they give you that choice. You could pay $10 per month or $100 for the whole year. They often use even the same ratio. So this is permitted when it's a rental. However, if the same thing regarding a sale is not permitted, someone's selling his field, he's doing it early in the season. He says, listen, if you pay me all now, then you can have it for 1,000 zuz. But if you wait to pay later at the time of the harvest, then you'll have to pay 1,200 zuz. I'm selling to you now, either way, right? It's yours. You could pay now 1,000, or you could pay in 6 months 1,200. Well, that is interest. That is prohibited because he is paying more for the benefit of paying later. Now, you can understand why he might do that if you do it at the time of the harvest. Then he's collecting, he has the harvest, and now he'll have more cash on hand. But nevertheless, he's paying more for the benefit of paying later, so that's prohibited. So now let's see what's the difference. Why in the Resha is it permitted? How come in the case of a rental is permitted to do so? And in the Sefa, in the case of a sale, it's not permitted. Both of these Amoraim gave this explanation. V'ayikivan de la meta zimne ligmigba lavatar netar le. Mishvahu de hachi shavya. V'aydeka amar le, ima achshav ata noten li harehu lecha ba'eses elayim nashana ozulehu deka mozil gabed. The fundamental difference is that a payment of rent only needs to be done at the end of the period. That's when one is liable. Ela lebasof. And so this, in this case, since the time for payment has not yet been reached when they're at the beginning of the year and they're deciding to make the deal. And so this is not a time to pay. And therefore, he is not paying any extra for the benefit of waiting. That's agad natad. Agad is payment. Natad is waiting. So he's not paying extra because he can pay later. The later payment at the end of the period or at the end of every month, that is the standard time when you'd have to pay. And so that's the actual value. The value is one sela per month. So that's the standard value. You're not paying anything extra. Now, when the landlord says, listen, if you pay now, I'll give it to you for 10, that is a discount. And you're permitted to offer a discount since he really only has to pay later at the end of every month. Listen, if you want to pay up front, I'll give you a discount. That's permitted. That's not called interest because the base amount is the higher amount and the discount is the lower amount and he doesn't have to pay until the end. Whereas sefa kevan desbinenin hu ba'al mishkal dameh me'achshav, a sale is different because it's a sale, so the obligation to pay comes right away. Whenever I'm going to buy something, that's I'm buying this now, I have to pay you now. Hilkach ada agar netar hu leve'asur. Therefore, when the seller says, listen, you have to pay now, the payment now is 1,000. If you want to pay later, if you want more time, then you have to pay more. So here, the standard price is the lower one, and the increased price for paying later, that's that increase of amount of payment, is for the benefit of waiting, that is interest. Amarava, takuba urabanan behamileta vokmuha. Akira kischir shana b'shana, sechirut shel shana zo ena mishtalemet ela b'shana acheret. Rava says, the rabbis looked into this distinction between rental and sale, that a rental one has to pay at the end of the period, and a sale he has to pay at the beginning of the period, and they found a pasuk that backs it up, because this pasuk, kischir shana b'shana, really it's about a hired laborer, but we're talking about rental, where the same word also means a rental. So the rent, the amount of rental is bishana, is year by year, meaning the, what do you mean year by year? That the rental payment for using something this year does not yet have to be paid until the next year. So you see, it's only at the end of whatever the rental period is, then that's when one has to pay. Now, the Mishnah says, Vim la godin bishnem asar maneh asur. In the case of a sale, if you say, listen, if you want to pay me later, then it's 1,200, but now is 1,000. That is prohibited. However, there is a way around this. Amar of Nachman, tarsha shareh. If you do this tacit interest, this means that you don't offer a sale price now. You just say, listen, how much is this land? The land is 1,200, and the due date for payment is in 6 months from now, right? You can set a due date. The due date doesn't necessarily have to be now, right? This is how much time you have to pay. So this would not be interest because it's not like I'll give you 1,000 now, or if you want more time, 1,200 later. I'm not giving any time now, and that's the difference, which is the Gemara is about to say. Itibe rame bar hama l'rab Nachman. V'amri l'rab ukba bar hama l'rab Nachman. V'im l'gorin b'shnem asar mane asur. So these sages ask about to Rab Nachman, how could you say that this is permitted? Our Mishnah just said that if you offer to sell the item, the field, for 1,200 later on during the harvest season, that's prohibited. So how could you say that's permitted? And the answer is, Amar lehatam kasle, hacha la kasle. It says in the Mishnah, that's talking about where he fixes a price of interest. He did, because he said, really, the market value is 1,000. That's the market value now. If you want to pay later, you have to pay an extra 200. So he's fixing an amount. That's interest. That's no good. However, when Rav Nachman did his tarsha, that was where he did not fix an amount of interest. He just said, listen, Payment is in 6 months and is $1,200. That's the price. The price is just $1,200. It happens to be you have you have time to pay. Amar Rav Papa, Tarsha di di share. Rav Papa says, I have a way of doing Tarsha, and my way is permitted. My tama shichrai la pasi duze la serichna anahudeka abidna milita gabelo keach. Rav Papa was a brewer, so he sold beer, and the way it worked is when during beer making season the price was lower, let's say $10, but then later on, as there's less beer around, so then the price goes up. It always goes up every year because it's going to go up later on in the season. So let's say it becomes $15. So the papa says, listen, I'm going to sell my beer at the higher price, and people can pay later. I don't mind. But I only give one price. Why does he only give one price? How come he doesn't let anyone pay for a discounted amount? Because, he says, the beer is not going to go bad. I don't mind storing it. I have a big garage. I store it. It's no problem. And I don't need the money. The papa was wealthy, and so he doesn't need to take a discount now for the money. He'd rather wait and get more money later. And therefore, he says, I am doing a favor for the customer, because customers, it's hard for them to get cash now. So you know what? They can take the beer anytime they want, and they can pay later. So this is a good example of Tarsha, where he's not saying, it's not for sale for $10 now. He's not selling it. He's not going to say $10 now or $15 later. He's saying the price is $15 and pay anytime you want. You can pay, you have 6 months to pay. That's permitted, right? Similar as we said before. And the papa explains that really he's not the reason why he does this. And so he's doing it as a favor to them, but for him himself, he doesn't need the money now. So that's why he gives them more time. Amar l'Rav Sheshat v'reh d'Rav Idi l'Papa. May chaze mor deka azlat batar didach. Zil batar didhu Rav Sheshat, son of Rav Idi, asked Rav Papa, why are you considering the matter from the perspective of yourself, the brewer? Think about it from the perspective of the buyers. The customers, dilu havu lehuzuze, havu shakle ki hashta. Hashta delet lehuzuze, shakle ki yukra dilkame. If the customers had money on hand, they had extra cash, then they would buy it at the lower price now. Even if not from you, they could go somewhere else and buy it now at when the market price is $10. So why would they pay more? Because they don't have cash now. So that's why they can't pay till later. So they're going to have to pay the higher price later. So it doesn't matter from that, from your perspective, it makes no difference to you now, later. I have plenty of money. I don't mind, right, storing it. But from their perspective, they're agreeing to pay the higher price because they can pay later. And therefore, from their perspective, that it's like interest. It seems to we leave this as a machloket. Amar Rav Chama, Tarsha didi vaday share. But then Rav Chama says, the way I do Tarsha is for sure good. Everybody would agree with this because he does it in a way that's not a time difference of pay now or pay at a certain time later, but rather a location difference. You see, in Rav Chama's place, let's say he grew, I don't know what he grew or what he sold, let's say olives. And the olives where he was a low price. So it was only $10 in his area. But there were other places, maybe they're busier areas, where the olives went for $15. So what he would do is he would sell in his area the olives for a high price, right? Something like close to $15. And now this is overcharging. Why does he do that? Because these merchants would then take these olives of Rav Chama to the other place where it was higher, and they would resell it for a higher amount over there. Now, in the meantime, Rav Chama says, listen, you don't have to pay me now. You could pay me later, right, when you go and do that sale. So it's kind of like a partnership, right? Rav Chama owns the goods. He shares the goods with these agents. The agents go and sell it for him. The agents have the money and whatever. They could use that money in the meantime, probably. And then they come back and they pay Rav Chama. So in a way, Rav Chama is like kind of saying, you could pay, there is a market price. He doesn't say this, but there is a market price now that's $10. But he says, you know what? Take it for $14 and you have time. Go travel there. Do your business, then come back and pay me later. And he's taking advantage of the difference in price and geographies. So we're seeing this kind of like a partnership. But still we ask, Mai ta'ama, nicha lehu de leku birshuti, de cholecha de ka azli, shabki lehu, michsa, unkut lehu, shuka. So why is this permitted? And why do they do this? Why do they agree to this? And the answer is, because, in other words, if the market price in his place is only 10, they could go get it from someone else for 10, and then go and to the other place and make a bigger margin. So why would they agree to be partners with Rav Chama? And well, they don't have to pay up front. That's true. So, but what benefit do they have in remaining partners with him this whole time? And the answer is because Rav Chama was a great sage. So great sages had special leniencies, financial incentives. Number one, since they're still in my dominion, and anywhere they go, the tax authorities will leave them from meches, will not charge them tax. So whose fruit is, whose olives are these? Oh, Rav Chama. Okay, that's okay. You don't have to pay tax on this. And also, when the sages would go to the marketplace, area was agreed upon. Everybody would favor them and let them sell their stuff first and give them priority. And so these sellers, since they were working for Rav Chama, selling his stuff, there was a lot of financial benefit for that. So that's why it was good for a good business deal for Rav Chama. He didn't have to go and bother doing that. And the agents also were okay with that. And therefore, they agreed to pay the higher price than anyone else around, because there were benefits that it was Rav Chama's olives. Rav Chama's olives are more sellable than someone else's olives, so that justifies the higher price. So it's not because they have to pay later, because they can pay later, that's why they're getting the higher price. No, it's because they can sell it more easily, make a profit, and come back. And therefore, Rav Chama's system was permitted. Vilchatake Rav Chama, Vilchatake Rabbi Elazar, Vilchatake Rabbi Yanai, Damar Mali Hen, Mali Demehen. Conclusion of the sugya is halacha is like Rav Chama. In fact, that doesn't say that halacha is like Rav Papa and Rav Nachman. Sounds like halacha is not like that. But only in Rav Chama's case, where it was clear why they were paying the higher price, and it was not for the benefit of the time difference, so that's permitted. Halacha is also like Rabbi Elazar, that if someone pays fixed interest, the court comes and removes it from them, unlike Rabbi Yochanan, who said that they do not. And halacha is like Rabbi Yanai, that there's no difference between the item itself and the value of the item, right? If we made a forward sale, I said, I'm going to buy this amount of wheat from you, and then the price goes up, so you could give me the wheat, or you could transfer the wheat into its monetary value into something else, and that was also permitted according to Rabbi Yanai. Next Mishnah, Machalo atasadev natan lo miksatamim v'amalo, emata shetirse have ma'ot v'tol et shelcha asur. Here also we're going to have two cases, and we're going to have to figure out the difference between the two cases. Here the first one is a sale, and the second one is a loan. If someone sells a field, and the buyer gives a down payment, let's say the field is worth $100,000, and the buyer gives $10,000 down payment. And then the seller says, listen, whenever you want, bring the rest of the money, the $90,000, and then take the field. This is prohibited. Why? Because basically, it's not clear here when the sale is actually happening, now or later. Let's say it's happening now. In that case, so you made the sale, and the $90,000 is a loan. So saying, okay, you know, pay me the rest, and then you can have it. I'll kind of keep it as a deposit in the meantime. Now, who's going to enjoy the fruits of the land in the meantime? If it's the seller, so this is a problem, because now he gave a loan for $90,000, and he is benefiting from the fruits in between. And then a few weeks later, the guy comes in with the $90,000. Okay, here's your field. But now he got all his $100,000, and for the benefit of waiting for it to get paid $90,000, he enjoyed the fruits. So you see, this is a problem. Second case. Hilval al sadehu v'amalo, imata noten li mikan ve'ad shalosh shanim, harehi sheli, harehi shelo, v'kach haya baitos benzonin, oseh al pi chachamim. Here, ironically, it's the case of a sale that's a problem, and the case of a loan is okay. Usually a loan is more like interest, but in this case, the loan is okay. Here is a case where one person lends money to someone else, $100,000, and the borrower says, listen, I'll give you a deposit take my field and hold on to it, and that'll be a deposit in case I don't pay. And the lender says, listen, you have 3 years. If you don't come back and pay me by 3 years, right, on, let's say it's January 1st, on December 31st, in 3 years from now, then I'm keeping the field as payment. Then he keeps the field, and this is permitted. And in fact, Baitos Ben Zonin would do something just like, would do precisely this, based on the opinion of the sages with their agreement, and this is okay. So we're going to have to figure out why is this okay. The Gemara is going to explain. Mi ochel perot. First, who is enjoying the perot? In what, in various cases, what would be allowed? What would be a case where it's permitted? Rav Huna Saba Amar Mocher Ochel Perot. Rav Anan Amar Mishaleshin Et HaPerot. So we're talking about the case of a sale where there's some kind of down payment and then the rest is paid later. And so Rav Huna says the seller can take the produce. And Rav Anan says you have to give it to a third party to put in escrow until we figure out what happens. Does he go end up going through with the sale, or does he never show up with the rest of the payment and the sale doesn't go through? But actually, they're not arguing. They're talking about two different cases. Hadamar lechi maitit kane. Hadamar lechi maitit kane me'achshav. When Rav Huna says that's the seller that can enjoy the perot, that's when they make this this sale. He gives a down payment, and the seller says, when you bring the rest, then and only then will the sale be finalized. In the meantime, I'm keeping it's my land. Then it's permitted for the seller to enjoy the fruit because all he did was get $10,000. Okay, I'll put it on the side and I'm waiting for the rest. In the meantime, it's totally mine. So I can enjoy the produce. When you bring another $90,000, then I'll transfer the land to you. And from then on, you have the produce. So then that would be just fine. If that's how they said it, but if he said the seller, if the seller said, listen, thank you for the $10,000 now, and then when you bring the $90,000, then the sale will be finalized retroactively from now. In that case, they have a big problem because since it's retroactive from now, if the seller enjoys the produce and then he ends up paying the $90,000, so now he got paid and he had benefit of the produce all that time when it wasn't his. So that would be interest for the benefit of paying later. So that's no good. And how about the buyer? Why don't you say the buyer keeps everything? Well, maybe the buyer will not come up with the rest of the money and the sale will never happen. And then the buyer is enjoying produce that doesn't belong to him. And meanwhile, he gave $10,000. So now he's enjoying produce for the benefit of lending out $10,000, which is going to be returned because the sale didn't go through. And so now that would be considered interest on his account. So therefore, either way, since we don't know if the sale will be finalized or not, that this is the case of Rabbanan, who says, put it in escrow, and the escrow will see. If the sale goes through, then the produce ends up going to the buyer. If the sale doesn't go through, then the produce goes to the seller. Tane Rav Yosef Rav Safra, Berebit Berebi Chia Pamim, Shishenem Mutarim Pamim Shishenem Asurim, Pamim Shemocher Mutar Velokech Asur, Pamim Shalokech Mutar, Mocher Asur. Now they mentioned a couple of cases where it's permitted and also not permitted. The case of the Mishnah was not permitted. We saw Rav Huna, Rav Anan talk about cases where is a permitted way to do it. So now Rav Safra says, I have a Braita from the school of Rabbi Chiya about Ribit. And this Braita teaches that there is a scenario in which both the buyer and the seller can take produce. We'll see what it is in a minute. And there is also a scenario where neither of them is allowed to take the produce. That was the scenario of Rav Anan. That's why you have to give it to a third party. And there is a scenario in which the seller is allowed to take the produce, but not the buyer. And there's another scenario in which the buyer can take the produce, but the seller cannot. So the case of Rav Huna, who said that the seller can, right? That would be the third case here. Okay, so Ane Rava Batre. So Rava is now going to explain the details of the Braita. The Braita is very succinct. It just says, here are cases, you figure it out. So Rava says, I'll tell you what the cases are. Pamim Shishenehem Mutarim. Tamale Kene Keshiur Zuzach. When is it permitted for both to take the produce? When the seller says, you can take acquire the land part by part as much as you buy. So as much as you pay. So first you gave me $10,000. You acquire 10% of the land. Then you gave me the another 10,000. 20. Now you have 20% of the land. And so every time the payment is made, then he gives over a portion. You can take the produce from that 10%, that 20% of the land, and I'll take it from the other 80%. Then when you pay half, then you can take produce from half the land, and I'll take from the other half. So in that case, both sides are permitted because they're taking only from the part that they have acquired. That's a good case. When are both of them prohibited? When the seller says, thanks for the down payment, you can collect the rest when you pay retroactively from now. Whenever you pay, retroactively it'll be yours from now. In that case, we don't know which way it's going to go, and therefore neither of them can take the produce. They have to give it to a third party. And sometimes the seller can take the produce, but the buyer cannot. That's when the seller says, when you bring the rest of the money, then you'll get it. Until then, it's totally mine. So then the seller can keep the produce in the meantime. Sometimes the buyer can take the produce and the seller cannot. That's when the seller says, listen, it's yours from now, no matter what, it's full sale, just based on the $10,000, and the other $90,000 will be a loan. Okay, so that's fine. Now the buyer owns the field himself. That's a total sale. So the buyer obviously can keep all the produce because it's his. And the rest is a loan, so he'll pay whenever the due date is. He'll come up with the other $90,000, and that's totally fine because the seller is not getting any benefit for the delayed payment. Man tana shenehem asurin. Who is the author of that part that says, of this Mishnah, that says that both, neither of them can collect in that scenario? Amar Rav Yehuna b'red Rav Yoshua de'la k'rabbi Yehuda k'rabbi Yehuda ha'amar sad echad b'ribit mutar. It's not the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because remember we saw Rabbi Yehuda said that when you have uncertain interest, it's permitted. If you make a deal and it could be that the interest will end up being paid, but it could be not, then it's permitted. It's only a prohibition if there's definitely going to be interest. Therefore, in the case when the seller says, thanks for the $10,000 deposit, when you bring the rest of the $90,000, then the sale will be finalized retroactively from now. So in that case, you can let the buyer keep all the produce in the meantime, because it's just as likely that the buyer will come up with the rest of the money, will go through with the rest of the sale, and then it will have been his retroactively from now. So he kept his own produce and there was no payment of interest, there was no problem. And so since there's a possibility that he will complete the deal without paying interest, therefore, let him keep it and you don't have to worry about the other possibility of maybe he'll take the produce that doesn't belong to him. That's okay, because since there's a possibility that there won't be interest, therefore, according to the Biyudah, that will be permitted. Therefore, this Baraita cannot be the opinion of the Biyudah. Lastly, Mishken lo bayit, Mishken lo sadeh, v'amar lo lich shetirse lemochram, lo timkerem ela li bedamim halalu asur. You have a case where you have a borrower and a lender. He borrows $100,000 and he says, here is my field. Hold on to it as a pledge, or his house. Now, the lender says, listen, I'm going to hold on to this. If you decide ever to sell it, don't sell it to anybody else, right? Rather, sell it to me for this $100,000. Which is lower than what the market price may end up being later on. That is prohibited because then he would be getting a benefit for the loan. Here's $100,000, and now he's going to collect a home that may be worth $150,000. So that's no good. However, if he pays the market value later at whatever time they end up making that transaction, that's permitted, right? He says, don't sell to anybody else. Sell to me at its market value. And that'll be $100,000 plus $150,000. Okay, here's the other $50,000 and the rest of it, I forgive the loan. That's okay. But he can't set the value at whatever the loan is, because that might be cheaper than he's benefiting from the time value of the loan. Mantana bedamim halalu asur. Now, who says that in this case it's prohibited? When he says for this money, Amaravu na, bered Rav Yoshua, de lak Rabbi Yehuda, adik Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amar sadechad berebit mutar. So once again, we say here that this baraita cannot be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's uncertain interest, then it's permitted. And here, we don't know if there's going to be interest. We don't know if he's going to end up selling the field at all. Maybe he won't sell it. He'll just pay back the money and get back his field. We don't know if it's going to go up in price. Maybe that will be the regular price and there won't be any interest payment. So therefore, since it's not for sure that he's going to be paying interest, you're permitted to make this deal and go through with it. All this was a discussion of the resha over here, of a sale with a down payment. We never ended up explaining the reason why the sefa is good, where it's a loan with a field as a deposit. And if he says, if you don't come up with the money for the next 3 years, then I am keeping it. So what's the difference? Why is that permitted? Okay, we'll talk about this case more on the next daf. But let's explain the basic reason. The basic reason is that this is not considered interest, because even if the field is worth more than the value of the loan, let's say the loan is $100,000, right? This is $100,000 and payable in 3 years. And here's a field that you can use as a deposit, and the field is worth $150,000. So listen, if you don't pay it, then from now for 3 years, then I'm going to keep the field. That's permitted because it's actually not interest. Interest accumulates gradually, right? Over time, every day or every month, it will continue to increase. In this case, even at the point of 3 years, less 1 day, he only has to pay the $100,000. So here it's not interest, but rather a penalty. And you could tell it's a penalty because if he doesn't pay on December 31st and instead pays on January 1st, then that's it. He loses his entire field. So a penalty is permitted. You can say, listen, I'm giving you this loan. It's due. Here's the due date. If you pass the due date, midnight, right, even by 1 minute, then you're going to have to pay this amount in penalty. That's permitted. You have to encourage someone to pay. It's not interest, whereas interest is different. Interest is, it accumulates over time. And so that is that's the difference, like the produce, which he's enjoying over time while he has it. So that's a benefit for being able to pay later, whereas this which is a penalty for not paying on by the due date, that is permitted. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, amen v'amen.